still sleep. And that's not a bad thing. Because since I walked into the house of God this morning, everything that I was singing yesterday, everything that I thought about yesterday, from Sunday school to now, has confirmed this day. And I am so grateful and I'm so thankful just to even be here. So thankful. Are you thankful this morning? Because God is a good God. And he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Just for a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Been so good. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so good. Ooh, I just want to thank God, we thank you once more and again for bringing us thus far. We give you all the honor and we give you all the glory. Why? Because I'm able to see this day. I'm able to feel the love that you have been imputed into all of us to share with one another. Lord, we magnify and we glorify your name. Why? Because of you is because of you. And I just want to talk to you like I talk to you all the time. There is nothing that you don't know about each and every one of us. And as I walk the floor like I'm doing now and I talk to you, I look how good you've been. Not because of COVID. You've been good from my creation. You've been good every day, whether I wake up or not. You've been good no matter what the weather is, no matter what changes. You change not. Lord, I thank you for a second chance. For when we were doing our little things in the world and we were growing up and we were learning, Lord, I thank you that you met me at a young age, so I wouldn't be locked up. Though I was chained, I wasn't locked up. Because we all go through tests. But because of who you are, I give you praise and I give you glory. You changed my life. You changed my heart. You changed my walk. Yes, you changed my talk. And you took me away from the things that wasn't making sense in my life, that was causing trouble. You redeemed me. You picked me up and you turned me around. And I can truly testify because of you. I no longer think the way I used to think. I no longer talk the way that I used to talk or walk the way that I used to walk. And I say, thank you, Lord. Most of all, for reconciling me through Jesus Christ. I thank you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. If he's done anything for you, come on and give him some praise. Somebody needs to be standing up right now and just thanking him for his many blessings. For we didn't know if he was going to wake up this morning or not. We didn't know if somebody else was going to wake up or not. We don't know if our loved ones. Give him praise. Amen. We got 20 minutes. God is good. The message today: God is given, ordained by him, inspired by him, entitled Reconciliation Through Jesus Christ. Not through me. Not through anybody else in this world. And we don't take it lightly. But I ask that you would come with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I just want to read verse 17 through 21. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From Corinth to the Christians and all those haters, false teachers and false prophets that were there in that day, that are still in the world today. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17 through 21. If you have it, please say amen. Amen. Therefore, after this, therefore, in spite of, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. He is a new creation. It says old, what? Just seeing if you're with me. Things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Somebody needs to realize that. I'll reverse here. Old things have passed away. And all things. It didn't say some things. It said all things have become new. 18, now all things are of whom? God, who has what? Reconciled us. Everything comes from God, and he has reconciled us to who? Himself, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I got a job to do. Somebody say, I already got a job. That's not the job. You just holding that for a moment. The job is outside of what you do. Because only what you do for Christ will last. That is that God, it says here, the ministry of reconciliation, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Somebody got a job to do. Now then, we are ambassadors for who? As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Speaking to someone out there. Be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, wrapped up, tied up, but not held up. Because it couldn't hold him for us. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord have a lesson to the readers and hearers and doers of his word. Being obedient to his word, amen, as you may be seated. Amen, reconciliation through Jesus Christ. The motivation in the message of this ministry of reconciliation, we note here, is larger in scope than what we can comprehend in just the short time that we have today, and briefly covers from the fifth chapter from verse 1 to 21. And it's just partial of what the Bible shares. There's much more. It's ministry, teaching, guidance of instruction, leading and encouragement, though it causes us to examine ourselves from God's perspective. Somebody say, from God's perspective, not our own, and surely not the world's. And it directs us to hold ourselves, our brothers, our sisters, and children, and family accountable for our actions and reactions to what's happening around us as it pertains to the things that we are able to control in the decisions and choices we choose to make. The background and setting of this second epistle letter of Paul to the Christians of Corinth began with Paul's association with the important commercial city of Corinth on his second ministry, missionary journey. According to Acts 18, 1 through 18, where he spent 18 months, noted in Acts 18 and 11, ministering there, where then both as we correlate and we bring this all together as one for the sake of time. First and then later, second epistle would then be inspired to be written by the imputed Holy Spirit from within him, Paul, that Christ anointed him with in his travels, because you do know that all scripture is inspired by God to teach to not only the believer, but also the unbeliever, false teachers and false prophets. For Paul is surely one, I tell you today, that can truly say, I saw the light in the world when he was brought to a humble position that caused this great, no more worldly soldier to be brought to his knees and recognize the Almighty Lord and Savior for who he was then, who he is now, and who he is to come. He is the true light of the world. Sidebar, churches, just like Paul had to bow physically, mentally, and spiritually, so will the entire world. For he's coming, I tell you. He's coming, I tell you. And he's coming soon. And we all will see the true light of the world. The question is, will you be ready to receive your Savior? Will you be ready to answer the call when he comes? Note, during the Apostle Paul's mission, after leaving Corinth, Paul heard of immorality, wickedness, that was running rapid in the Corinth church. And he wrote a letter to confront the sin as stated in 1 Corinthians 5:9. In reading the text, one can see why reconciliation was needed then and sure enough needed now today. During his ministry in Ephesus, he, like a parent on vacation trying to enjoy himself and having a good time in the word, was further given reports of trouble in the Corinthian church regarding the children and the neighbors there back in the home front, regarding divisions happening among them. We as parents can relate. You know, sometimes you want to take a trip by yourself, or you and your husband or wife, you want to go and have some fun, and you leave the children in charge, just like mama would go to work. And it seems as soon as mama would go to work, things would get out of hand, especially for us younger, as we were overseen by our older brothers and sisters. We were told what to do, when to do it, and how it should be done. Even though while mama was home, my daddy was home, we didn't experience that. But now all of a sudden, our big brothers and sisters want to become parents and letting us know that they are in charge. Amen? Well, it got to a point to where even sometimes they would unplug the phone because they knew that I was going to call mama. Oh, that was a bad mistake. There was a lot of division going on. Because I would say, or sometimes my little brother would say, mama said, do this. Mama said, we need to do that. They wouldn't reply. They just would do what they want to do. Amen. This same type of behavior was going on even back then in a different form. But here we see that in the text of learning here, about Paul's ministry. During his ministry in Ephesus, he, like a parent on vacation, trying to enjoy himself, having a good time in the word. Do you love the word of God? Do you love to study the word of God? He was further given reports of trouble in the Corinthian church regarding those that were going through different stages, and not only in their lives, but what they were experiencing. They were experiencing things that was different from what Paul was teaching by those false teachers and prophets that came into the city. In addition to Paul writing to the Corinthians decided to write to Paul a letter after a while, from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, asking for clarification on some of the issues they were facing. So Paul responded by writing the letter to the Corinthians. I could see Paul enjoying himself, as stated. He was planning to remain in Ephesus a little while, according to 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. He tried to send his close friend Timothy, according to 1 Corinthians 4 and 17 and 16, 10 and 11. But more disturbing news reached the apostle of further difficulties, including the arrival of self-styled false apostles in chapter 11. Like they are out there in the world today. 2 Corinthians complements the historical record of Paul's dealing with the Corinthians church, recorded in Acts and 1 Corinthians. Furthermore, Paul later went to Corinth, as he had later written in chapter 12 and 13, verses 1 and 2, from the assurance of the resurrection, even in chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, through the factual evidence of being justified through Christ in verses 9 through 11. And now again here in chapter 5, verse 12, Paul asked the Corinthians and the false teacher, prophets, and haters, not a rhetorical, but one that question, but one that makes sense. But just like common sense is not coming today, it seemed like common sense was not coming even back then. For nothing is more common, I tell you, and makes more sense than to know that he, Jesus, is the Godhead, later was also known as the God-man, created man in his image. We were created. Do I have a witness in the house today? We do understand that he came down. Do I have a witness today? We do understand that he lived in the flesh, but the flesh did not take him over. Do I have a witness today? We do understand that he created. We understand that he healed. We understand that he fed the 5,000 plus, was known as the King of Kings, the Messiah that came. He was falsely accused, became the substitutionary sacrificial lamb that died for you and I, laid down to have nails nailed in his hands and nails in his feet on the altar called the cross. He was buried in a tomb. Do I have a witness today? That still could not hold my Lord. He was risen just for you and I. I shared with you on the other Sunday that he did it just for me. He said he would. Why? Because he's not a man that he should lie. He was also seen walking around town, later met with the disciples, and then ascended into heaven, having victory over all sin, not just some sin. Victory over death, not just some type of death. Victory over the grave, and now he sits at the right and righteous hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, with all authority in his hand. I thought I would give you that in the beginning, because there are some that's out there that's disputing this. There are some that's out there that's still confused of how they became reconciled, how they was able to make it through. But some still think that it was by their own merit. But you don't have any power. I don't have any power. Yeah, that's hard to swallow. I don't have any power. My power comes from God. In the name of Jesus, we're able to heal. In the name of Jesus, we're able to cast out. In the name of Jesus, we're able to speak a word of authority. In the name of Jesus, through reconciliation, he has brought us to a place in time to where we are able to share a word that we know of to someone that is lost. The main purpose and the main job for us to do is to make sure that the word of God goes forth, that will persuade one, and that they would have a desire to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But still, somebody is doubting and someone is trying to decide about their life. And they need to hear that. 2 points I want to make before I take my seat. The spiritual and human connection of reconciliation. For one to understand the true meaning of reconciliation, one must understand the true love of Christ, which was a love that was unconditional when it came to the sheep of the shepherd, or when it came to the love of the groom for his bride. For you do know that we are the bride of Christ. So we must define and break down the meaning of reconciliation. The human connection of reconciliation is this. Reconciliation is defined and broke down into three parts: the prefix, the root, and the suffix. It's the re, it's the con, and it's the ciliation. The re means to start again, start afresh, with having a better understanding of what things one should do now and what one should not do from their past that caused them to have to redo or start afresh again. Tell your neighbor, I need a makeover. The con means to swindle, defraud, trick, mislead, or even deceived another. You want to stay away from being a con because you're not fooling nobody except yourself. You're just fooling yourself, and you're not even fooling God because he knows all and he sees all. When you put re and con together, you get recon. That's what I said when the Holy Spirit gave it to me. Hold on to recon. Because see, something happened with the word recon. Recon, the forming of the two, now becomes a plural word that describes the name of a military person or soldier that has been given the task or mission to go out, down or over yonder and gather information which all true believers and soldiers in God's army learn and know that their mission in doing reconnaissance is to observe and report like the Holy Spirit within us do. When the Holy Spirit sees something going on through your eyes, it observes it and it reports it back to the Lord. Whether it sees it out there or whether it sees it in here. The ciliation. Ciliation derives from its medical terminology, meaning of the word ciliate. For it plays an integral role in assuring the defense mechanism of humanity's respiratory system clears out itself. Cilia is a medical terminology that we learned in med school. It takes out and removes harmful subjects and objects from the airways to make sure that you are able to breathe. Therefore, when you put all of it together, you get the entire word reconciliation. Because I'm going through what I'm going through, because you're facing what you're facing, because you're experiencing these things in your life, and it may have been 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 20 years. You're going through a phase called reconciliation. And our Savior is looking down. And because it started in the beginning, sin. Everybody want to blame the woman. Some people want to blame the man. I'm just listening back and forth. But then I do remember in Genesis that Adam didn't say a word. But I don't need it. The truth is the truth. And Mama always said that the truth will set you free. And that's the truth. But here, reconciliation is a word. It means to restore, reunite, bring back together again, reconnect, hook back up with Jesus, which leads us to the spiritual connection and being reconciled to God. For in the spiritual connection, we see in 2 Corinthians 5 and 12, the love of Christ. From the assurance of the resurrection in chapter 5 and 1 through 8, verses 1 through 8, through the factual evidence of being justified through Christ in verses 9 through 11 as it deals with the judgment seat. For in dealing with, and now again here in chapter 5 and 12, Paul asked the Corinthians and the false teachers and prophets and haters, not a rhetorical question, but one that makes sense. But as we stated, that common sense is not coming to everybody. Paul, through Jesus Christ, was now a man of integrity, meaning righteous, upright, a man with virtue now, truthful that became through reconciliation, he became trustworthy. The question is, can you be trusted? Can God trust you? Yes, I can be trusted. Church, we need to understand that our internal reward in heaven would be affected, just like the Corinthians had to know and understand. If they was to defect and allow themselves to turn to false teaching and left the divine teaching of Christ that came through Paul as being a used vessel of God, for no man gets the glory. All the glory belongs to God. But if they was to turn, they would have lost everything that they worked so hard for. As you face the trials and tribulations in this world, you need to understand, and we need to understand together, that things are going to be hard. Things are going to be tough. And we see here how Paul states, as he should, in his appearance, standing before his adversaries, and as you stand before your adversaries and your opponents, you need to let them know who your God is. You need to tell them, here's a full-blown opportunity for you to tell them about your Savior. And he said, he boasts not, and he take pride not in the externals, which can be anything false as far as doctrine. He's not about the con, but he's about the reconnaissance. And he's about the reconciliation. And he understands where he comes from and who brought him thus far. Do you understand and do you know who brought you this far? Paul says, I don't have time to be a showy servant of God. As confirmed in Matthew 5 and 20 and 6 and 1 and Mark 7, 6 through 7, but he stands as one being devoted to truth. That's Jesus Christ. For it's not my will, it's not my might, it's not by my power, but on the truth foundation, the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ, I have been reconciled. I have been saved. As answered to the Christian, to the critics he gave, who claimed that Paul was an insane fanatic, as confirmed in John 8 and 48, Acts 26, 22 through 24. But Paul was in complete control. He did not lose his temper. He did not go off the handle. He did not start cursing. He allowed Jesus to control everything that he was facing, his thoughts and his actions. Though he may have looked crazy, as they stated, he was sober-minded and spoke with the authority given from Jesus as he communicated truth to them. And that's what we need to do, because we are ambassadors. It further tells us in the word that we are ambassadors for Christ. We should stand boldly before the world. I heard somebody say sticks and stone may break your bones, but words can hurt you. Guess what? Sticks and stones can't hurt you neither. Especially if you don't get hit by them. Took me a long time to realize that. So I had to take some self-defense classes and understand that there's an answer for everything in this world that God has already prepared us to do. All we have to do is just take the time out to do it and step out on faith. And I was sharing with Deacon Johnson how, you know, I wanted to complete some more leadership classes. Some things that I wanted to do long time ago, but then I was met with some passings, my mother, my brother, and my brother. And I couldn't do them, but thanks be to God, amen. Just 2 weeks ago, I finished the 8-week course in medical administration, amen, to keep myself up to beat, amen. But I truly understand what my calling is. I can't get caught up. You cannot get caught up in the things of this world, because you're a peculiar creature. We are ministers for God. We are called a royal priesthood. We have a job to do. And we cannot sit down on the job, because I can share with you as a facility manager, if I keep you sitting on the job, somebody say that there be welling and gashing of teeth. The pen meets the paper. Well, it's just like when we do wrong. We're chastised by the Spirit, by the Word. The Word chastises. It guides us and it leads us, and it should. Why? Because we are believers. We are believers. We cannot just speak anything that we want. Closing here. But Paul was in complete control. He allowed the Spirit of God to guide him. We should allow the Spirit of God to guide us. Scripture, Paul speaking for the rest. He was speaking for the rest. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Brothers and sisters, if it seems like I'm beside myself, it's because I'm doing it for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for your sake, so you will be able to understand. Do I have a witness in the house today? What's being said from the scripture, not from me. As Paul defends his interrogatory, church, we need to make note that you don't have to defend yourself with the words of this world. All you need is the gospel word of Jesus Christ. Scripture says again, for the love of Christ compels, it drives, it requires, it inspires us to the love of Christ in us, pressures us. It causes us to do righteous actions. For it's that same desire that causes us to offer ourselves and be reconciled to God and give our life over to him completely. And all this is ignited by the Holy Spirit that's already imputed into us to give ourselves over to him. For this body don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Scripture further says that the knowing that if one died for all, who are we talking about here? Jesus, if one died for all, then all died in him. How? Because he was reconciled through Jesus Christ. For he, Jesus, died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves. I keep hearing somebody say, I did this, I did that. You ain't did nothing. But for him, here in the text, who died for them and rose again. See, he hasn't stopped. But we get tired real quick. Is it all right if I say that? We get tired real quick. But he hasn't stopped. Because the word of God said that he's coming again. Like he said he would. Can you see the power of God working? Do you believe in him? So you can receive eternal life with the Lord forever. In the place that he has gone to prepare a place for all believers in Christ Jesus. If so, then you shouldn't mind even standing, being a living testimony and telling somebody and witnessing for the Lord and tell them how he brought me out from a bad situation. We should be the first one to encourage someone that's going through. But yet and still, we're always the last one to show spiritual love and affection. For in your house, we need to show love. On your job, we need to show love. In the mall and in the parking lot, Facebook, Zoom, we need to show love. No matter where we are, we need to show love. We need to understand that in him, we become new. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We need to understand that in him, the believer's security is in him, who bore in his body God's judgment against sin. We need to believe in him and understand that this reconciliation, the love, the peace of reconciliation, that the believer's acceptance in him with whom God alone is well pleased. We need to understand that if it had not been for him on our side, where would we be? The believer's future assurance in him who is the resurrection to eternal life and the sole guarantor of the believer's inheritance in heaven. The believer's participation in the divine nature of Christ, the everlasting world, that is new. But we are new in him. Somebody say, I am new in him. It describes something that is created, a qualitatively new level of existence and excellence when you allow God to put his hand on you. You began to do things that you didn't think that you were able to do. You begin to walk, as I stated, like you never walked before. People begin to really see the light that shineth in you, Deacon Johnson. And I can say that I am a living witness to that. You are a living witness. But when you accepted him and you accepted him as your true and living Savior, and you were sincere to the bone, God, he saw and he recognized that you were being true. As stated, you can't fool God. You're only fooling yourself. So we need to reconcile. We need to recognize who we're reconciled to. For God was in Christ. God, by his own will and design, he used his son, the only acceptable and perfect sacrifice, as I go to my seat, as the means to reconcile sinners to himself. In reconciling the world, God initiates the change in the sinner's status in that he brings him from a position of alienation to a state of forgiveness and right relationship with himself. This again is the essence of the gospel. Yes, it is. If you out there today, do you want to be saved? All you got to do is just call on God. And he will hear your every word. The intrinsic merit here of Christ reconciling death is infinite. And the offer is unlimited. You go into the bank and you go into the store, there's only so much that you can get. But when you go to God, I can get anything I want. Anything I need. As long as it's in his will. And that's what we forget. His will. Not my will. The word of reconciliation here, Paul presents another aspect to the meaning of the gospel. He uses, he indicates a true and trustworthy message as opposed to a false and unsure message. In a world filled with false messages, believers have the solid, truthful message. And that message is a message of reconciliation from God, to know that he is the true and living Savior. Somebody say, he's all I need. He's all I want. And guess what? You're about to get it. God bless you.